All right, let's go ahead and open with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for us to come together in your presence as we hear your word this morning. And may our hearts and our minds be open as we hear the lesson. And may we go forth in knowledge and discernment till the day of Christ. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. So I asked Mr. Redmond this morning, as usual, any request on scripture reading. He said it's all good, and I happened to glance up there and see what our topic's going to be today. So I set the book up here, flipped it open, was getting ready to start scanning through to find something, and I glanced down, and I noticed I'd opened the book to Ezekiel chapter 35. So being the companion Bible, I glanced over to see what chapter 35 was about. Chapter 35 in Ezekiel deals with God's judgments on the enemies of Israel. I thought, that's apropos. So that's what we're doing this morning. So if you turn in your companion Bibles to page 1156, we're going to be reading the 35th chapter of Ezekiel. It's short, sweet, and to the point. 35, page 1156, Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel 35, hear now the word and the judgment of our Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out, and him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains with his slain men in thy hills, and in thy valleys, and in all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. And I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy cities shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast said, These two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do accordingly to thine anger, and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of my hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me, and multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God, When the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate. So I will do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen.
As you might tell from the subject on the screen, or take a little bit different turn today with our study. As we look at the problems that we find in the current news today, one of the deepest yearnings of man and individuals for centuries is the intense desire for peace on earth. All through the course of written history, man has struggled for the formula for peace and the war to end all wars. However, the conflict is never ending. And we see it continuing today on the world scene, again, of course, in the Middle East. Ever since Cain slew Abel and Nimrod started the system of government, the battle rages on. It is part and parcel to the satanic system that we have today in our governments, and as a result, terrorist type of organizations and efforts. It is a conflict that is based on the elite, greed, religion, and national interests. And forever is a frustration to the yearning of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We have conferences for disarmament and ceasefires last but a short time, and the conflict rages on. Continually, we have conferences in Yalta and Oslo, and the United Nations comes and steps in. People trend to Camp David year after year, decade after decade. We put up the World Economic Forum, etc., and still we continue to have this uncertainty in our world. So I ask, particularly in the light of today's news, what is the reason for this? Why is this current conflict for so much hate over and over, this hate over an insignificant piece of land, no bigger than the state of Indiana? It is not just a local problem, and it seems to involve the whole world, nations, students, everywhere. Hate, mistrust, anger, hotheads, different races, beyond reason. Kings, presidents, dictators, mullahs in all religions from around the world. Well, the reason is the Most High. And it is beyond that one can imagine, actually, because of its depth as it runs through Scripture. Only Scripture reveals to us the truth. And they notice on the screen Hamas's problem, and if you haven't noticed it over in the lower right-hand corner, their problem is the Most High. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, page 283, if you're using a companion Bible. Chapter 32, verses 7, 8, and 9. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, is the lot of his inheritance. Strange there is the word lot. The word is used because the inheritance given by the Most High to Israel was allotted or divided by a rope or a cord. or a line is how this division was. You show it a little bit here on the screen with the lines around and so forth, kind of zigzag and so forth. But the land was divided by lot. For example, turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It's page 553 in the Companion Bible. First Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 16. Even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Come unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan. The lot, that word again, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, I touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Lot here is in the Hebrew a measuring line, as you would lay out something as a surveyor. We see it again in Psalms chapter 16. Turn over to Psalms chapter 16, page 753 of the Companion Bible. And this lot seems is connected with heritage. Look at verse 6 of chapter 16. The lines, the same word here. The lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. So here we see again this lot and a heritage that goes with the nation of Israel, and even the Lord's place of that. Turn over to Psalms 19, a couple chapters over to Psalms 19. Chapter 19, verse 4. Their line, there again, that same word, that line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Line equals again here inheritance, a measuring or an allotting for space in this land that the Lord has divided. Again, I'm just pointing out how many times in Scripture there's dozens of these that point to this lot or this land or this dividing, and it's kind of subtly there. You don't really pick up on it until you start to piece it together. Turn over to Micah chapter 2. It's in page 1254 in the Companion Bible. Page 1254 in your Companion Bible. Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2, verse 5. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Here again, a reference. There's dozens of these that kind of, like I say, they go over the top of your head. When you read the Scripture, you don't tend to tie this back, this word lot and line. And so what is going on today in the Middle East, and I'll guarantee you there's not going to be a two-state solution possible because of what's gone on here. this laying out, this laying of lines and measuring reminds me of, I served on the board of a company that did very large developments, and there would be maybe 5,000 acres, and they would divide that into lots. Before they even sold one, they would lay out all these, and they would have 6,000-7,000 lots for homes. It reminds me of what's been done here with the land by the Most High. So when did this take place? Well, it's much, much, much earlier than we think. Turn to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. The chapter is titled, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, Japheth, and to them were sons born after the flood." Where God divided the earth into lots, as we have seen. Look at verse 32, the last verse of that chapter. "These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood." The surprising thing is that this was 251 years before God gave the land to Abraham. Turn over a page to, and we find this also in chapters 11, the generations of Shem, where all this was divided up by the nations, by the generations. And there in, of course, chapter 12, verse 6, "And Abraham passed through the land into the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." This is the oldest covenant made and has not been broken to this day. He promised to scatter them because of insurrection of the nation, crucifying their own Messiah and so forth. He scattered them, but the land is made by covenant, and so it's still there. This division is still there. There must be millions of lines drawn for the nation, as we see on the chart, on the screen. So the question then comes, what land are we talking about? Well, believe it or not, it's laid out. We know. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. We are given the boundaries of this land. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." That's the southern boundary. The river of Egypt to the Euphrates River. The northern boundary is described in Ezekiel chapter 47. It's on page 1176 in your companion Bible. Ezekiel chapter 47. And here, I'm not going to read all of this with regard to the boundaries, but we can see here that the boundaries are described east and west, north and south. But we're interested primarily at this point in the northern boundary, beginning in verse 15. And this shall be the border of the land towards the north side, from the great sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zazad, Hamath, Berothoth, Sibrimian, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar, Hadakon, which is by the coast of Haran. And the border from the sea shall be Hazarnon, the border of Damascus, and the northward, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. And then it goes on there in verse 16, 17, 18, and 20, additional division lines, which primarily takes in the east side, which is on the Mediterranean Sea, and the Euphrates on the west. I've put together a map to try to distinguish where this is all at. It's a map of the current configuration of the land and its geographic implications since 1967. It is an area larger than the country of France. The title and deed is given in covenant by the Most High, and Islam and their kings are going to one day be livid with what is told here. Surprised, they're going to be all bent out of shape when God pulls the string. You notice the southern boundary there. Over here, here is the river of Egypt. And from the river of Egypt, the southern boundary runs over to the Euphrates. This is the Euphrates River. Babylon, of course, is right here on the Euphrates River. But this is the southern boundary. Then when you go to the north, it was, if you remember the word Hamath in there, as you go from the Great Sea, this is the Mediterranean Sea, this area here. This is the island of Cyprus. This is the Mediterranean. When men go from the Mediterranean to Hamath, is the north boundary, and it runs over to the Euphrates River. Now, within this north and south boundary, we have, of course, today where the conflict is down here in the lower left-hand corner. This is Gaza, very small. It's about 25 miles in length, about 7 miles in width. Not too far from there is Jerusalem. And here's some other places, Damascus, Lebanon. But if you notice, it cuts across 7 different countries. Jordan, parts of Saudi Arabia right here. Iraq, it takes in a lot of Iraq. It takes in half of Syria, all of Lebanon, and probably a very small part of Israel, or of Egypt, excuse me. What's going on in the world today? We're fighting for a two-state problem. They want to make Gaza a state and Israel a separate state, and they may or may not be successful. But right today, there are 7 countries that have some part in God's covenant to the nation of Israel. One day, in the day of the Lord, this is going to become all the nation of Israel, this whole area. And like I say, the kings and the mullahs and the priests, and that, probably the whole world is going to be upset about it, but there's not a damn thing they can do. God's made it a covenant relationship. The interesting thing I tried to work on a little bit, and I think it's pretty much impossible. But if you go back there and look at the verses that we looked at there in Deuteronomy, it talks about Jacob, and it uses the word him in about six or seven verses. It continually focuses on him as Jacob, as his part. I would guess, this is just a surmise on my part, I would guess if you could determine where that's at for Jacob and his people, I'm guessing it's going to be right here in Jerusalem. I'd like to be able to prove that, but I don't have enough information to do it. But just reading those five or six verses where it dwells on him, on him, on him, on him, that kind of thing in Scripture tells you that there's something there that to be understood. It's amazing stuff. Any questions? Well, I just wanted to show it. I wanted to show a picture of it to get it into your mind as to what's going on in the world and how long ago the Lord divided this land, and it is divided for the nation of Israel. And Hamas's problem is it doesn't belong to them. The Most High has given it to the nation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We're grateful for the written word, for the understanding that we can have. We're thankful that you care for us, and that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of you through this precious word that you have given us. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.